Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Double Deceiver, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Widow's Doorstep. The rain didn't fall that night, it punished. It lashed against the stained glass windows of Hollowspire Manor, like the heavens themselves were trying to claw their way in. 3 weeks had passed since they buried Charles, and the house still smelled like him. His cologne lingered in the velvet drapes, his cigar smoke clung to the mahogany bookshelves, and his absence haunted every shadow. The police called it a robbery, a tragic wrong place, wrong time butchery in a downtown alley. They'd found his body stripped of his Rolex, wallet, and wedding ring, throat slit ear to ear. Convenient, I thought. My husband didn't stroll through alleys. He owned them. I sat in his study, cradling a glass of bourbon so old it could have witnessed the founding of the city. The ice had melted, diluting the amber to a watery grave. My reflection warped in the glass. A 32-year-old widow in a black silk robe, her auburn hair unwashed, her green eyes sharp as broken bottles. The world saw a grieving wife. I saw a chessboard. A knock shattered the silence. Not the timid tap of a maid, or the brisk rap of the cook. This was deliberate, calculated, three firm strikes that vibrated through the oak door like a threat. I didn't move. Let them think the house was empty. Let them think I was broken. The knock came again. Louder. I rose, my bare feet silent on the Persian rug. The security monitor by the door flickered to life, revealing a man in a charcoal gray suit, his face half lit by the porch light. Handsome, in a way that felt rehearsed. Mid-30s, jet-black hair swept back, a jawline that could cut glass. He held no umbrella, letting the rain soak him like a martyr. His eyes, pale blue, almost silver, stared straight into the camera, as if he knew I was watching. Mrs. Eleanor Voss? His voice crackled through the intercom, smooth as aged whiskey. My name is Adrian Cross. I'm a private investigator. I think I can help you find who killed your husband. I let the silence stretch. Let him shiver in the downpour. Finally, I pressed the intercom. The police already closed the case. They're wrong. No hesitation. And you know it. A thrill shot through me, cold and electric. I disabled the alarm and opened the door. He stepped inside, water pooling at his polished Oxfords. Up close, he was taller, broader, his presence swallowing the foyer. He smelled like rain and sandalwood, with a hint of something metallic, gun oil, maybe. His gaze swept the room, lingering on the Monet above the fireplace, the diamond-studded vase Charles had bought me in Dubai. Assessing. Calculating. Who hired you? I asked, tightening my robe. No one. He flashed a smile that didn't reach his eyes. I work for the truth. I almost laughed. Truth was a currency here, and everyone in this city counterfeited it. Still, I played along. Why bother? Because Charles Voss wasn't just robbed. He stepped closer, lowering his voice. He was targeted. This was personal. And the men who did it, they're still out there. I let my lip quiver, let a tear slip, a perfect practice trickle. I don't know what to believe anymore. His hand brushed my arm, warm and reassuring. Let me help you. Let me give you answers. I led him to the study, noting the way his eyes flicked to the safe behind Charles's portrait. He sat in my husband's leather chair like he owned it, steepling his fingers. Tell me everything. Start with the night he died. I did. Or at least the story I'd fed the cops. Charles working late. A missed dinner. The midnight call from the morgue. Adrian listened, nodding, his expression a masterpiece of sympathy. When I finished, he leaned forward, elbows on the desk. They took his ring, he said. Sentimental value? We engraved our wedding date inside. He pulled a notepad from his jacket, scribbling. The cuff of his shirt rode up, revealing a tattoo, a serpent coiled around a dagger. Did he have enemies? He was a banker, I said flatly. Enemies came with the title. Another smile. Sharper. Anyone specific? A jilted client? A business partner with a grudge? I hesitated. Let him see the cracks. There was a man. Victor Malik. Charles cut him out of a deal last year. He threatened us. said he'd make Charles suffer. Adrian's pen froze. Malik's dead. Car bomb in Prague, 6 months ago. I widened my eyes. You think someone else is involved? I think, he said, standing, this goes deeper than a grudge. This was orchestrated. And I'll need resources to prove it. Resources. Surveillance. Informants. Money. He circled the desk, stopping inches from me. But if we do this, Eleanor, you need to trust me. Completely. I looked up at him, letting my breath hitch. I just want justice. You'll get it. He cupped my face, his thumb brushing my cheekbone. A lover's gesture. A liar's promise. I'll need access to his accounts. Emails. Phone records. I nodded, trembling. Anything. He left an hour later, armed with a check and a USB drive full of decoy files. I watched his taillights vanish through the rain, then returned to the study. And laughed. It started as a whisper, then crescendoed into something wild, unhinged. I laughed until my ribs ached, until the sound echoed off the vaulted ceilings. Because Adrian Cross wasn't half as clever as he thought. Three mistakes. One, his suit was Italian-tailored, but his shoes were cheap knockoffs, scuffed leather, uneven stitching. A man who invests in appearances doesn't skimp on the foundation. He wanted to look wealthy, not be it. Two, when I'd mentioned Victor Malek, his pupils dilated. Recognition. Fear. Because Victor wasn't just real, he was Adrian's former employer. A fact I'd discovered 2 days after the funeral, when I'd paid a visit to a certain brothel in the East Quarter, and slipped a knife between a certain madam's ribs until she sang. Three, the ink. I opened the drawer where I kept the condolence card delivered last week. A grotesque thing, lilies on the front, inside a typed message. Deepest sympathies for your loss. Some debts can't be repaid. The ink was unusual. Not standard black. Charcoal with a faint red sheen. The same ink that had smudged Adrian's cuff when he wrote down his number. I traced the serpent tattoo sketched in my own notebook, a match to his. Oh, Adrian, I whispered, flipping to a photo of Charles's corpse, the gash in his throat grinning up at me. You shouldn't have stolen his ring. Because I'd seen it on Adrian's finger when he pretended to comfort me. My husband's ring. My wedding date. And now his killer's fingerprint. Chapter 2, The Puppeteer's Strings. Adrian Cross became a shadow in my life, slipping through the cracks of my grief like smoke. He arrived every morning at 9:03 a.m., never a minute early or late, carrying a leather briefcase that smelled of ambition and lies. The first time he brought me evidence, I made sure to spill tea on my blouse, a calculated accident that left the silk clinging to my skin. His gaze lingered a beat too long. Men are so delightfully predictable. Security footage, he said, spreading grainy photos across the dining table. The images showed men in black masks loitering near Charles's office the night he died. They're professionals. Ghosts. But I've got a contact in the syndicate. Says they were paid in untraceable crypto. I let my hands shake as I picked up a photo. Syndicate? Like, the mob. Worse. He leaned in, his breath warm against my ear. Private contractors. The kind who make evidence disappear. I buried my face in my hands, shoulders heaving. Why Charles? He wasn't involved in anything illegal. Adrian's palm settled on my back, rubbing circles. He was laundering money, Eleanor. For years. I jerked away, eyes blazing. That's not true. I'm sorry. He looked pained, pulling a bank statement from his briefcase. An offshore account in the Caymans under Charles's name. $16 million, transferred the week before his death. The numbers swam in front of me, because I'd forged them myself. No, I whispered, collapsing into a chair. He wouldn't. Adrian knelt before me, hands on my knees. He did. And whoever he was working with killed him to tie up loose ends. I stared at him, letting tears carve trails through my mascara. What do I do? Trust me. He squeezed my legs, his thumbs pressing into my thighs. Let me protect you. That afternoon, I visited the cemetery. Charles's tombstone was a jagged slash of granite in a field of polished marble angels. I placed a single white rose on his grave, then knelt, digging my fingers into the soil until dirt packed under my nails. You arrogant bastard, I hissed. You actually hired him. The wind whistled through the oaks, carrying the scent of impending rain. 3 weeks before his death, Charles had started coming home tense, checking the locks twice, jumping at shadows. I'd found the PI invoice tucked in his golf bag, Adrian Cross and Associates, surveillance report. He'd been having me followed. I stood, wiping my hands on my coat. Don't worry, darling. I'll make sure your killer pays. The lie tasted sweet. Adrian's protection meant moving into the guest house. He claimed it was temporary, but I watched him smuggle in gear. Encrypted laptops, a handgun, vials of clear liquid I suspected wasn't insulin. I played the grateful hostess, gifting him Charles's monogrammed whiskey decanter. To new alliances, I toasted, clinking his glass. To justice, he countered. We drank. The Talisker burned, but not as much as the satisfaction of watching him swill poison. Not literal, yet. But every word, every touch, was a toxin we fed each other. His next move was elegant. A midnight break-in. I awoke to shattering glass. Heart pounding, I grabbed the pearl-handled revolver from my nightstand and crept downstairs. Adrian was in the foyer, grappling with a hooded figure. They crashed into the grandfather clock, sending it splintering to the floor. Eleanor, run! Adrian shouted. I didn't. I aimed the gun at the intruder's knee and fired. The crack echoed through the house. The man howled, crumpling. Adrian disarmed him, yanking off the hood to reveal a pockmarked face I recognized. Jesse Cole, a small-time thug I'd paid $500 to play his part. Who sent you? Adrian growled, pressing a knife to Jesse's throat. Go to hell, Jesse spat. Adrian slit his ear. Blood pattered on the marble. Jesse screamed. I bit my tongue until I tasted copper, willing myself to tremble. Who? Adrian repeated. V-Victor's crew. They're cleaning house. Adrian slashed his cheek. Where are they? The docks. Warehouse 12. Adrian nodded, then snapped Jesse's neck with a wet crunch. I dropped the gun, hands flying to my mouth. You killed him. To protect you. He wiped the blade on his jeans. Pack a bag. We're leaving. He took me to a motel off Interstate 90, room reeking of mildew and regret. I sat on the lumpy bed while he paced, barking into his burner phone. Yeah, the docks. No, tonight. Burn it down. I hugged my knees, staring at the blood crusted under his fingernails. Adrian, what's happening? He turned, face softening. I'm ending this. For you. He cupped my face, and I let him kiss me. His lips were chapped, his tongue sour with adrenaline. I clawed at his back, pouring every ounce of feigned desperation into it. When he pushed me onto the mattress, fumbling with his belt, I arched into him, whispering praises. You're the only one I trust, I breathed. Afterward, as he snored, I slipped his phone from the nightstand. Scrolled through encrypted messages. Unknown, she buying it? Adrian, like a goddamn lottery ticket. Transfer the funds. I memorized the account numbers. Then, in the bathroom, I vomited quietly, scrubbing my skin raw in the shower. The next morning, Warehouse 12 was ashes. Adrian showed me news footage on his laptop. Firefighters hosing down charred beams, reporters speculating about gang turf wars. It's over, he said, stroking my hair. I buried my face in his chest to hide my smile. Over? It had just begun. While Adrian showered, I called in a favor. The account numbers, I whispered into the phone. Drain them. Leave a trail to his alias. Silence. Then a chuckle. You're a scary bitch, you know that? Be scarier if you want to keep your kneecaps, Marco. I hung up, then opened the motel room's peeling wallpaper to retrieve the burner phone I'd hidden there 3 days prior. One text sent. Phase 2. Deliver the package. Adrian emerged, towel slung low, steam curling off his skin. Who are you talking to? The funeral home. I let a tear fall. They found Charles's ring in the wreckage. His face froze. His ring. I showed him the photo Marco had doctored. A melted gold band amid the ashes, our wedding date still visible. I want to bury it with him, I whispered. Adrian pulled me into a hug, his heartbeat thundering against my ear. Of course. But I felt it, the minute tremor in his hands. The fear. He'd worn that ring the night he killed Charles. And now it was his noose. Chapter 3. The Dance of Daggers. The walls of Hollowspire Manor had ears. I made sure of it. Tiny listening devices nested in the crevices of gilded frames, cameras disguised as smoke detectors, and a server in the basement humming with every secret Adrian whispered to me. He thought we were partners. He thought we were lovers. But as I stood in the cellar, rewatching footage of him pocketing Charles's silver letter opener, the one he'd sworn to help me find, I knew the only thing we truly shared was a mutual appetite for destruction. He found me in the library later, pretending to pore over old photo albums. My fingers traced a snapshot of Charles and me in Monaco, his arms slung over my shoulders like a noose. "You look like him," I said softly, not glancing up. Adrian paused by the fireplace, his reflection warping in the polished brass andirons. "Ooh, the man who killed him." I turned, holding up the photo. "Same eyes. Cold. Like a winter lake." His jaw twitched, "Tell. I'm nothing like him, Eleanor." "No," I stood, closing the distance between us. "You're better. You'll catch him." I kissed him then, slow and venomous, my hands fisted in his shirt. He responded like a man starved, backing me into the bookshelf. Leather-bound volumes rained down around us, their pages fanning open like dead wings. When his teeth sank into my neck, I laughed. "What's funny?" he growled. "You." I dragged my nails down his spine. "You're the only thing in this house that isn't haunted." The next morning, I hired a locksmith. A wiry man named Felix with a lazy eye and a heroin habit I'd exploited twice before. He met me in the garden shed, the air thick with the stench of fertilizer and deceit. "I need a copy of every key he's carrying," I said, dropping a stack of hundreds into his palm. Felix licked his lips. "He's got a safe somewhere." "Not for long." By dusk, I had duplicates. That night, while Adrian slept off a bottle of single malt, I crept into his room. Moonlight carved his bare chest into a marble effigy, beautiful and lifeless. The safe was hidden behind a Rothko print, amateur. Inside, I found stacks of cash, a passport under the name Elias Kane, and a velvet pouch. Charles's wedding ring glinted in the dark, still crusted with blood. I pocketed it, replacing it with a forgery I'd commissioned weeks ago. A flawless replica, save for the microscopic tracker embedded in the band. Then, for flair, I added a lock of my own hair, tied with a ribbon the color of dried blood. Let him wonder. 2 days later, Adrian took me to a charity gala at the Halcyon Hotel. I wore emerald silk and Charles's favorite diamonds, playing the polished widow. He wore lies like cologne. "Stay close," he murmured, hand possessive on my waist as we entered the ballroom. "Half these vultures would sell you out for a headline." I smiled at Senator Whitcomb, who'd embezzled campaign funds to pay his mistress's abortionist. "I'm in good hands." The night unfolded like a poisoned sonnet. We waltzed. We schmoozed. I let him steer me toward the bar, where a man in a pinstripe suit waited. Luca Moretti, a mid-tier arms dealer with a weakness for brunettes and blackmail. "Adrian." Luca clapped him on the shoulder. "Heard you've been busy. Keeping the world safe for democracy," Adrian replied, grinning. Luca's gaze slid to me. "And who's this?" "Eleanor Voss." I offered my hand. "The widow." His grip tightened. "Condolences. Charles was a character." "Oh, he still is." I leaned in, lowering my voice. "I've got boxes of his paperwork if you're ever nostalgic." Adrian's fingers dug into my hip. Later, in the limo, he exploded. "What the hell was that? You don't talk to men like Luca." I blinked, doe-eyed. "I thought he was your friend. He's a predator." "So are you." I straddled him, loosening his tie. "Differences, I like your teeth." He flipped me onto the seat, pinning my wrists. For a heartbeat, I thought he'd hit me. Instead, he kissed me like he wanted to carve himself a home in my ribs. I bit his lip until he bled. The real game began at 3 a.m. Adrian snored on his stomach, one arm slung over my waist. I slid free, padding to the study where Felix had installed a false panel behind the wainscoting. Inside, a burner phone buzzed. "Unknown," he took the bait. "Warehouse tonight." I texted back, "Make it messy." Then, I scrolled to Marco's contact. "Is the girl ready?" "Born ready," he replied. "She'll sing like a canary." I deleted the thread and crept to Adrian's safe. The forged ring was gone. Right on time. The warehouse by the docks stank of fish and diesel. Adrian thought we were there to ambush Victor's lieutenant. Instead, we found a 19-year-old escort named Lila, duct-taped to a chair, her face bruised and streaked with mascara. "Please," she sobbed. "I don't know anything." Adrian crouched, knife glinting. "Who paid you to fuck Charles Voss?" I don't remember." "Try harder." He pressed the blade to her throat. I stepped forward, trembling. "Adrian, stop. She's just a kid." He backhanded me. The crack echoed off the corrugated steel walls. I fell, tasting blood, as Lila screamed. "You think I'm stupid?" Adrian hauled me up, shaking me. "You've been feeding her lines. Setting me up." I choked out a laugh. "Why would I?" He shoved a photo in my face, me, entering Marco's apartment last week. "You followed me," I whispered. "You're a terrible actress." He threw me to the ground, turning back to Lila. "Last chance. Who's pulling your strings?" She met my eyes, a flicker of defiance beneath the tears. "Go to hell." Adrian slit her throat. Blood arced across the concrete, painting my shoes. I screamed, scrambling back, but he yanked me to my feet. You want to play games, Eleanor? He smeared Lila's blood across my cheek. Let's play. He dragged me to the car, tossed me in the trunk. As the engine roared to life, I curled into the darkness, clutching the tracker remote in my fist. The ring was moving, straight to the police station. Chapter 4: The Mirror Cracks. The trunk of Adrian's car reeked of gasoline and regret. My cheek pressed against cold metal, the engine's growl vibrating through my bones. Lila's blood had dried on my hands, flaking off like rust. I counted the turns, left, right, 2 miles straight, as the tracker's signal pulsed on my phone, a tiny green dot inching toward the police station. Adrian thought he'd won. He thought I was broken. He was wrong. The car lurched to a stop. Gravel crunched under tires. A door slammed. When the trunk flew open, Adrian loomed like a storm cloud, backlit by the moon. He yanked me out by the hair, my scalp screaming. We stood in a junkyard, skeletal cars piled like tombstones. You've been a bad girl, Eleanor. He shoved me against a pickup's rusted hood, hand circling my throat. Time to confess. I wheezed, clawing at his fingers. Confess what? You've been working with Victor's men. Feeding them intel. He pressed harder, veins bulging in his forearm. Was it before or after you spread your legs for me? I spat in his face. He laughed, wiping his cheek. Cute. Releasing me, he pulled a syringe from his jacket. Clear liquid glinted in the moonlight. This'll make you more cooperative. I lunged for the tire iron half buried in mud. Swung. The metal connected with his ribs. He staggered, syringe falling. I swung again, catching his jaw. Blood sprayed. He roared, tackling me into the dirt. We rolled, a tangle of fists and fury. He pinned me, knees grinding into my shoulders. You're gonna regret that, he hissed. I smiled. Already do. A gunshot split the night. Adrian froze. A red bloom spread across his thigh. He collapsed, howling. Marco stepped from the shadows, pistol smoking. You okay, boss? Took you long enough. I shoved Adrian off, standing. He gaped up at me. You set this up? I crouched, patting his cheek. I set everything up. 2 hours earlier, while Adrian ranted at Luca Moretti's bar, I'd slipped a GPS tag into his whiskey. Marco had tailed us, waiting for my signal, 3 rapid texts sent mid-trunk ride. Loyalty bought with cash, and the promise of a clean slate. Now Marco zip-tied Adrian to the pickup's bumper. What now? The shed. I nodded to a corroded metal shack. Prep the tools. Adrian thrashed. Tools? What the fuck are you doing? I lit a cigarette, the flame trembling for show. Asking nicely didn't work. So we'll try persuasion. The shed was a slaughterhouse tableau. Flickering bulb. Stainless steel table. Pliers, blowtorch, bone saw. Marco duct-taped Adrian to a chair, humming off-key. You're insane. Adrian strained against the bonds. I straddled his lap, trailing the pliers down his chest. You killed my husband. Stole his ring. Lied to my face. And I'm insane. Charles hired me, he snarled. He wanted proof you were cheating. I froze. What? He knew about your little side projects. Adrian's grin was bloody. The art forgeries. The blackmail. He was going to divorce you, take everything. But then I realized. Why split the pie when I could eat it all? The pliers slipped from my hand. Charles knew. Adrian leaned closer. He begged at the end. Said he'd pay double if I let him live. But I slit his throat anyway. Watched him choke on his own blood. Rage blurred my vision. I grabbed the blowtorch. Eleanor, Marco warned. Too late. I flicked the igniter. Blue flame roared. Adrian screamed as I seared his collarbone. The stench of burning flesh curdling the air. Where's the money? I demanded. Go to hell. Another pass. His skin blistered. Where? Swiss account, he gagged. Number 4773-229X. I turned off the torch. Password. Go fuck yourself. Marco stepped in, hammer in hand. Let me. He swung. Adrian's kneecap shattered. The scream could have woken the dead. Password. I shouted. V Vos 666, he sobbed. It's all there. Just stop. I nodded to Marco. Transfer it. Every penny. He left, phone in hand. Adrian sagged, sweat and blood pooling at his feet. You'll kill me now, right? He chuckled weakly. Finish it. I cupped his face. Oh, Adrian. Death's too kind. From my pocket, I pulled the forged ring, the one with the tracker. Slipped it onto his mangled finger. This'll look lovely in an evidence bag. His eyes widened. You're framing me? You framed yourself. I kissed his forehead. The police have the ring, the security footage from the warehouse, and a signed confession from Luca Moretti. Luca would never. He will. I have photos of his daughter. Cute kid. Blonde. 7 years old. Adrian's face crumpled. You're a monster. I smiled. I learned from the best. At dawn, I stood on the cliffs overlooking Hollowspire Manor. The waves below gnawed at the rocks, relentless. Marco approached, holding a burner phone. It's done. Money's transferred. Cops picked up Adrian an hour ago. And Luca. Played his part. They're raiding Adrian's properties now. I tossed the phone into the sea. Burn the shed. Bury the tools. What about him? Marco jerked his thumb toward the junkyard. Leave him. The crows need breakfast. As I walked away, the sun rose, staining the sky the color of fresh blood. Chapter 5: The Web Titans. Adrian Cross rotted in a cell, but his shadow clung to me like a curse. The police had him, for now, but his influence seeped through the cracks of my carefully constructed world. I saw him in the flicker of streetlights outside my window, heard his laughter in the clink of ice cubes in my bourbon. The game wasn't over. It had simply entered its most dangerous phase, silence. I spent days erasing his fingerprints from my life. Burned the guesthouse mattress where we'd fucked and schemed. Drained the Cayman account he'd helped me discover, funneling the money through shell companies in Malta and Macau. But at night, I scoured the dark web, hiring hackers to dig into Adrian's past. What I found chilled me, a trail of bodies stretching back a decade. Ex-lovers, business partners, even a journalist who'd sniffed too close to his deals. All dead. All unsolved. He'd left a masterpiece of carnage. And I was his unfinished canvas. The first warning came on a Tuesday. A package arrived, no return address. Inside, a Polaroid of me leaving the junkyard shed, Marco's silhouette blurred in the background. On the back, scrawled in Adrian's jagged hand, "You forgot the curtains, Eleanor." "Tiske." I burned the photo, then called Marco. "He's got someone on the outside." "Impossible," Marco growled. I scrubbed the security feeds. "Then scrub harder." That night, I dreamt of Adrian. He stood at the foot of my bed, skin charred from the blowtorch, finger bones poking through melted flesh. "You think you're the only spider in this web," he rasped. "I taught you to crawl. Now watch me fly." I woke to the smell of smoke. The guest house was ablaze, flames devouring the roof. Firefighters arrived too late, but I didn't care. Let it burn. Let it all burn. Except for the safe. Buried under 6 feet of soil in the rose garden, the titanium box held everything. The forged confession, the tracker logs, the original wedding ring. I dug it up at 3 a.m., dirt caked under my nails, and drove to the one place Adrian's claws couldn't reach. The morgue. Dr. Sylvia Greer owed me a favor. 5 years ago, I'd buried her husband's gambling debts. Now she met me in the chilled autopsy room, her latex gloves smeared with someone else's blood. "I need a body," I said. She raised an eyebrow. "Cause of death? Stabbing. Male. Mid-30s. She pulled a drawer open, revealing a John Doe with a Yakuza tattoo peeling off his chest. "Knife fight in Chinatown. No ID. Perfect." I handed her a Ziploc bag containing Adrian's hair, scraped from the motel shower drain. "Plant this on him. And make sure the stab wound matches Charles's autopsy report." Sylvia sighed. "You're asking me to commit federal fraud." I slid an envelope across the steel table. Inside, photos of her daughter smoking meth in a club bathroom. "And you're going to do it with a smile." Her face paled. "When?" "Tonight." By dawn, the cops had a breakthrough. Detective Russo called, breathless. "We found another victim. Same MO as your husband. Adrian Cross's DNA is all over him." I sobbed gracefully. "Does this mean it's really over? We'll need you to ID the body." The morgue stank of bleach and lies. I stared at the John Doe, his face restitched into a crude imitation of peace. "That's him," I whispered. "The man I saw arguing with Charles that night." Russo nodded, satisfied. "Cross must have killed this guy as practice. We'll add it to the charges." As they wheeled the body away, I caught Sylvia's eye. She glared, but her hands shook. "Weak, I thought. Another loose end." Adrian's trial date loomed. The DA, a preening peacock named Everett Cole, invited me to his office to prepare. His walls were lined with law books he'd never read and accolades he'd bought. "We'll paint Cross as a psychopath," he said, leering at my widow's blacks. A predator who targeted vulnerable women. I crossed my legs, watching his Adam's apple bob. And the media? Ravenous. They'll eat up your testimony. Beautiful widow fights for justice. He licked his lips. Of course, a few leaks could ensure favorable coverage. I let him touch me. Let his clammy hands roam my hips, his whiskey breath hot on my neck. When he fumbled with his belt, I kneed him, hard, and pressed a scalpel to his throat. You'll leak exactly what I tell you, I hissed. Or I'll leak your little home videos with the interns. He pissed himself. Literally. The night before the trial, I returned to the docks. Marco waited in Warehouse 12, now renovated with soundproof walls and a drain in the floor. You sure about this? He asked, sharpening a boning knife. I lit a cigarette, the flame trembling. He's seen too much. Sylvia arrived at midnight, duct-taped and gagged in Marco's trunk. She'd tried to flee the city, but Marco had intercepted her at the bus station. Now she knelt on the concrete, pleading through muffled screams. I kept my word. I crouched, brushing hair from her face. But you looked at me with disrespect, Sylvia. That's a fatal diagnosis. Marco slit her throat. Efficient. Professional. As her blood swirled down the drain, I texted Detective Russo an anonymous tip, Dr. Greer embezzling funds. Check her accounts. Let them dig. Let them find the money I'd funneled through her name. At dawn, I stood in my dressing room, buttoning a blouse starched white as innocence. The press swarmed the courthouse steps, cameras flashing like 1,000 hungry eyes. Eleanor, over here. How do you feel facing your husband's killer? I paused, letting a single tear fall. Today isn't about me. It's about justice for Charles. Inside, Adrian waited at the defense table. His suit hung loose, eyes sunken, but his smirk remained. Miss me, darling? He whispered as I passed. I didn't flinch. But when I took the stand, oath hand raised, I felt it, the noose tightening. Around his neck. And mine. Chapter 6, The Mask Slips. The courthouse smelled of polished lies and stale coffee. I sat in the front row, my black Chanel suit starched stiff as a shroud, and watched Adrian Cross shuffle into the room in shackles. His once tailored frame swam in a wrinkled prison jumpsuit, his hands raw from restraint, but his eyes still burned with that familiar, feral glow. He caught my stare and winked, a predator's farewell. The trial was theater, and I was its playwright. Every headline, every tear, every gasp from the jury had been choreographed. But as the bailiff swore me in, my palm slick on the Bible, I felt the first tremor of doubt. Not in my plan. In him. Please state your name for the record, said Everett Cole, the DA, his voice oozing performative gravitas. Eleanor Marie Voss. And how did you know the defendant, Mrs. Voss? I folded my hands, a widow's rosary. He was my husband's killer. Adrian's lawyer, a pit viper named Miriam Sharp, shot to her feet. Objection. The defendant is accused, not convicted. Sustained, sighed Judge Callahan, a cadaver in robes. Cole adjusted his tie, lobbing softball questions to rebuild my saintly facade. Yes, Adrian inserted himself into my life. Yes, he manipulated my grief. Yes, I trusted him. Each answer dripped with honeyed trauma, the jury lapping it up like starving strays. Then came the cross. Miriam circled me, stilettos clicking like a countdown. Mrs. Voss, isn't it true that you hired Adrian Cross first? I blinked. No. She flung a document at the jury box, a forged contract dated months before Charles's death, my signature looping across the bottom. To investigate threats against my life, it read. The room erupted. Reporters scribbled. Jurors frowned. Cole shot me a panicked look. We didn't rehearse this. Miriam pressed. You feared your husband, didn't you? Feared he'd discover your affairs? Your embezzlement. Objection. Cole barked. Withdrawn. Miriam smirked, tossing another photo into the air, me, leaving Marco's apartment at 2 a.m., his hand on my lower back. But you do know this man, correct? I froze. Marco had vanished a week ago, leaving only a burner phone and a half-smoked pack of Camels. Had he sold me out? Or had Adrian gotten to him first? He's my landscaper, I said. Miriam's laugh was a scalpel. Landscapers don't carry guns, Mrs. Voss. She projected security footage onto the courtroom screen. Marco, pressing a Glock to a man's temple in a parking garage. The victim? The same John Doe from the morgue. My John Doe. The jury gasped. Adrian leaned back, savoring the chaos. No further questions, Miriam purred. I stormed into the courthouse bathroom, splashing water on my face. My reflection wavered. Liar, killer, widow. The stall door creaked open. Rough day, princess? Marco leaned against the sink, blood crusted under his nails, a fresh bruise blooming on his jaw. I slammed him against the wall. You fucking traitor. He grabbed my wrist, twisting. Adrian's got my sister. Said he'd mail her fingers if I didn't play along. And you believed him? I believe this. He shoved a phone in my face, a live feed of a girl bound to a chair, a machete at her throat. Call off your dogs or she's confetti. I stared at the screen. You think I care about your family? I think you care about winning. He pressed closer, reeking of desperation and diesel. Help me save her, and I'll give you Adrian's endgame. Why should I trust you? He spat a tooth into the sink, Adrian's handiwork. Because he's gonna burn us all. That night, I broke into Adrian's former loft, now a crime scene. The cops had torn it apart, but they'd missed the floor safe under the bedroom rug. Inside, a dossier on me. Photos of my art forgeries, audio of my blackmail threats, even a sample of the poison I'd used on Charles's mistress. And a USB drive labeled, for Eleanor. I plugged it into my laptop. Adrian's face filled the screen, bruised but grinning. Hey, darling. If you're watching this, I'm either dead or in cuffs. Either way, you've lost. He leaned forward, eyes glinting. See, I knew you'd frame me. So I framed you first. That dossier? Mailed to every major outlet. Goes live at dawn. The screen cut to a montage, me bribing Sylvia, torching the guest house, Marco dragging Lila's corpse. TikTok, Ellie. Better start running. The video ended. So did my patience. I found Marco at the docks, duct taping his sister to a support beam. What the hell are you doing? Keeping her safe, he said, tossing me a rifle. Adrian's crew's coming. 6 men. He wants you alive. Charming. I checked the ammo. Where's he hiding? Abandoned church on 5th. But it's a trap. All the best parties are. We took positions behind cargo containers. Headlights speared the fog, a black van skidding to a halt. 6 figures poured out, armed to the teeth. Marco whispered, on 3. 1. The men fanned out. 2. Safety clicks echoed. 3. We opened fire. Bullets tore through the night. A man dropped, then another. Marco took a hit to the shoulder, cursing. I lunged for cover, returning fire. One man lunged at me. I slit his throat with my wedding band's hidden blade. Then silence. Blood pooled around the bodies. Marco's sister sobbed. I grabbed the last gunman's collar. Where's Adrian? He laughed, blood bubbling on his lips. He's everywhere. I pulled the trigger. Back at the loft, I poured gasoline over Adrian's dossier. Let the world think me a widow, a victim, a fool. Let them burn. The USB drive, though, I kept that. Slipped it into an envelope addressed to Detective Russo. From an admirer, I scrawled. Let him chase ghosts. As flames devoured the evidence, my phone buzzed, a blocked number. Unknown, you missed a spot. Attached, a photo of my safe, buried in the rose garden. Empty. Adrian's final text, game on. Chapter 7, The Inferno's Edge. The safe was empty. Adrian's taunting text glowed on my phone, a digital sneer. Game on. The rose garden's soil clung to my hands like grave dirt as I stared into the hollow where my secrets had been buried. He'd taken everything, the forged confession, Charles's ring, the photos of me standing over Lila's corpse. Now the only thing left to bury was him. I drove to Marco's last known safe house, a crumbling tenement in the East Quarter. The stairwell reeked of urine and despair. I kicked open his door, gun raised, but found only a ransacked room and a bloodstained mattress. A note pinned to the wall. He knows. Run. Adrian's voice slithered into my mind. You're just a widow. I spat on the floor. Not yet. 4 hours earlier. The police had raided my art gallery. Detective Russo waved a warrant in my face, smug as a vulture. Anonymous tip. Said you've been selling forgeries. I laughed, crisp and hollow. My clients are meticulous. They'd know a counterfeit. He shoved past me, officers tearing through canvases. A rookie lifted a Klimt imitation, oblivious to the bullet hole hidden in the frame, a compartment holding a microSD card of blackmail files. Careful, I purred. That one's insured for $2 million. He blanched, setting it down. Russo lingered, eyeing my neckline. You're slipping, Mrs. Voss. First the trial, now this. Maybe you need protection. I slid a hand up his chest, fingernail scraping his jugular. The only thing I need from you is a head start. I left him slack-jawed, dialing Marco from the car. No answer. The church on Fifth. Adrian's abandoned church was a carcass of stained glass and rotting pews. I crept through the nave, pistol steady, until a shadow moved. Marco. A flashlight blinded me. He stood bruised and limping, his sister Anna, shackled to the altar. He made me bring her, Marco muttered. Said you'd come. Anna's eyes pleaded. Duct tape stifled her screams. Where is he? Everywhere. Marco tossed me a key. Get her out. I'll cover you. The confession in his voice was a grenade pin pulled. You led them to the safe. He didn't deny it. He had Anna. What would you have done? I aimed the gun. Not this. A shot rang out. Marco crumpled, clutching his gut. Anna wailed. Adrian descended the choir loft, clapping. Bravo, Ellie. You finally learned. Everyone breaks. Flashback, 2 years ago. Charles's hands trembled as he poured scotch. I know about the forgeries, Eleanor. The blackmail. You're a cancer. I arched a brow. And you're a saint. What about the girl in the Bronx? The one who disappeared after your business trip? He slammed his glass. You'll ruin us. No, I kissed him, tasting fear. I'll make us gods. He backed away. That night, he hired Adrian. The altar. Adrian pressed a knife to Anna's throat. Give me the Swiss account codes, or she's a fountain. I inched closer. You think I care about her? I think you care about winning. He grinned. Transfer the money and I'll vanish. You'll never see me again. Liar. Cheater. Thief. We lunged. The fight was a symphony of violence. He slashed, I dodged. I broke his nose. He dislocated my shoulder. Anna's chains clanked as she kicked, desperate. Marco crawled, leaving a blood trail. Eleanor, the chandelier. I fired at the rusted chain above Adrian. It snapped, glass shards raining down. He screamed, impaled. I grabbed Anna, unlocking her chains. Run. Marco slumped against the altar, breath gurgling. Take her. Adrian writhed, laughing through blood. You'll never be free. I knelt, yanking the knife from his leg. But you will. I carved the serpent tattoo from his arm, pocketing it. A trophy. A promise. Epilogue, the ashes. Anna slept in my guest room, sedated. I burned Marco's body in the church, his loyalty reduced to smoke. The safe's contents? Mailed anonymously to the DA's mistress. Let Everett Cole explain that scandal. As dawn bled through the curtains, my phone buzzed. Unknown, you forgot the curtains, Ellie. Attached, a video of me burying the safe. From the Rose Gardens trellis camera. Adrian's final laugh echoed in my skull. He wasn't done. Neither was I. Chapter 8, The Serpent's Feast. The video from the Rose Garden camera played on a loop, Adrian's invisible gaze crawling over my skin like maggots. Anna stirred in the guest room, her whimpers seeping under the door. I'd promised Marco I'd protect her, but promises were currency in a collapsing economy, and mine had gone bankrupt. I poured bourbon into a cut crystal glass, Charles's favorite, and swallowed it in one burning gulp. The trellis footage wasn't just a taunt, it was a blueprint. Adrian had seen me bury the safe, dig it up, panic when I found it empty. He'd documented my every move, my every flicker of fear. But to what end? The answer arrived in a limousine. The devil's bargain. A black town car idled at the gates, windows tinted to voids. The driver stepped out, face obscured by a cap, and tossed a velvet box onto the gravel. Inside, Charles's wedding ring, the tracker still embedded, and a note. Dinner at 8. Dressed to kill. I crushed the note, then slipped the ring onto my finger. The tracker's signal blinked to life on my phone, a pulsing dot leading to a waterfront mansion. A trap, obvious and irresistible. I dressed in black silk and vengeance, strapping a dagger to my thigh and cyanide to my molars. Anna watched from the stairs, her eyes hollow. You're leaving me here? I tossed her a burner phone. Call the number labeled cleaner. He'll keep you safe. She caught it, trembling. What if he comes? I smiled. He's too busy chasing me. The mansion. The mansion was a glass and steel tomb hovering above the river. A valet took my keys, his grin too wide, eyes too dead. Inside, a chandelier dripped crystal shards like frozen tears. Adrian waited at the head of a banquet table, a feast of oysters and absinthe laid between us. You came. He stood, arms spread. I'm touched. I didn't sit. Where's the rest of it? The photos? The confession. Safe. He popped an oyster into his mouth, swallowing it whole. For now. I drew the dagger. Give. Them. Back. He sighed, lifting a remote. The wall screens lit up, security feeds from my gallery, my home, even the morgue. You're the star, Ellie. The world's about to see your greatest hits. So release them. I stepped closer, blade raised. I'll burn brighter in infamy. Ah, but I don't want you infamous. He circled me, fingers trailing the dagger's edge. I want you grateful. He pressed a button. The screens shifted to Anna, bound in my guest room, a bomb vest strapped to her chest. Tick-tock, he whispered. Flashback. 3 days after the funeral. The first blackmail letter arrived with the morning espresso. A photo of me and Victor Malek in a Berlin hotel, his hand on my knee. Condolences, the note read. Let's discuss your future. I burned the photo, then Victor's entire operation. His men. His mistress. His prized Afghan hounds. When Adrian appeared at my door, I thought him a vulture. I should have known he was the arsonist. The choice. Adrian poured two glasses of absinthe, the liquid glowing toxic green. Drink with me or Anna becomes Pollock paint. I sipped, the licorice rot coating my tongue. What do you want? Everything. He leaned in, breath sweet with poison. The Swiss accounts. The blackmail files. Your confession on camera, that you manipulated me. I laughed. And in return, I vanish. You keep playing widow. Everyone wins. Except Anna. Collateral. He shrugged. Sacrifices make the gods, darling. The absinthe curdled in my gut. I lunged, dagger aimed at his heart. He caught my wrist, twisting until the bone snapped. Predictable. The bomb vest's timer beeped faster. The uninvited guest. Gunfire erupted. The valet burst in, head exploding mid-stride. Marco's sister, Anna, stood in the doorway, Marco's rifle smoking in her hands. You, Adrian hissed. Learned from the best. Anna tossed me a second gun. We fired in tandem. Adrian dove behind the table, bullets shredding oysters and bone china. I grabbed the remote, jamming the stop button. Anna's bomb vest fell silent. Adrian lunged from the shadows, knife slashing. I blocked, our blade screaming. Anna tackled him, a feral snarl ripping from her throat. They crashed through the glass wall, plummeting toward the river. I lunged, grabbing Anna's arm. She dangled, Adrian's grip on her ankle, his laughter rising over the rapids. Let go, he grinned, blood staining his teeth. Anna met my eyes. Do it. I shot Adrian between the brows. His body vanished into the froth. I hauled Anna up, her sobs echoing the river's roar. The aftermath. We burned the mansion. Let the fire swallow Adrian's evidence, his games, his goddamn legacy. Anna slumped in the passenger seat, staring at her palms. He told me things, she whispered. About you. About Charles. I lit a cigarette. And you're worse than he said. I smiled. Good. Back home, the safe's contents waited on my bed, untouched. Adrian's final trick, a hollow victory. The real prize had always been the fight. My phone buzzed. A notification. The Swiss accounts drained. Unknown, interest collected. Until next time, Ellie. Attached, a photo of Adrian's corpse, washed ashore, the serpent tattoo gone. I deleted it. Let the river keep him. Chapter 9, The Crown of Ashes. The world believed Adrian Cross was dead. The river had spat out his corpse, bloated and eyeless, and the headlines crowned me a grieving saint. But saints don't dream of knives. Saints don't lie awake, tracing the scars on their wrists like ledgers of sin. Anna moved into the guest house, her laughter too sharp, her eyes too cold. She'd stopped flinching at gunfire. Stopped asking questions. She was becoming me, and I didn't know whether to pride or pity her. The Swiss accounts were empty, but the blackmail files remained scattered, I thought, like ashes. I was wrong. The invitation. A package arrived at dawn. A velvet box lined with silk, holding a single bullet and a key card to the Halcyon Hotel's penthouse. The note bore Adrian's handwriting, crisp and mocking. One last dance, Ellie. Bring the girl. Anna found me clutching the box, my reflection fractured in its polished lid. He's alive. No, I snapped the lid shut. But someone wants us to think he is. She palmed the bullet. Let's kill them. I almost smiled. The Halcyon. The penthouse smelled of jasmine and decay. A grand piano dominated the room, its lid propped open like a coffin. On the bench sat Victor Malek. Alive. His face was a ruin of scar tissue, one eye milky blind. Hello, Eleanor. I drew my gun. You were dead. Adrian's first masterpiece. Victor limped closer, his cane clicking. He faked my death. Made me his puppet. But puppets cut their strings. Anna aimed at his chest. Why bring us here? To settle debts, he tossed a USB drive onto the piano. It held footage of me smothering Charles with a pillow, his legs thrashing under silk sheets. My finger tightened on the trigger. That's a lie. Is it? Victor pressed a key, the note sour. Adrian filmed everything. Your fights. Your plots. The night you killed Charles. The screen played my sins in 4K. Anna stared at me. You said he died in an alley. He did. My voice splintered. After I staged it. Flashback, the truth. Charles hadn't hired Adrian. I had. My husband had discovered the forgeries, the affairs, the bodies. He'd planned to expose me, take everything. So I hired Adrian to kill him. But the con artist double-crossed me, keeping the evidence to extort me forever. The alley, the robbery, the widow's tears, all my script. But Adrian hadn't just filmed Charles's death. He'd filmed me orchestrating it. The reckoning. Victor chuckled. Adrian's final gift. A dead man's switch. If I die, this footage goes viral. Anna stepped toward him. What do you want? Everything she stole. He pointed at me. The money. The art. Your life. I lunged, but Victor's cane snapped open, revealing a blade. He slashed my cheek, blood flecking the piano. Anna tackled him, their bodies crashing into the keys, a discordant scream. I crawled to the USB drive, crushing it under my heel. Victor roared, throwing Anna aside. Fool! There are copies. I know. I shoved the piano lid. It slammed on his neck, bones crunching. His remaining eye bulged. You'll burn. I'm already ashes. Anna stabbed him through the heart. The aftermath. We burned Victor's body in the penthouse tub, melting his flesh with hotel shampoo and a Zippo. Anna scrubbed blood from her hands, her voice flat. Was any of it real? The grief. The lies. I watched flames lick Victor's skull. The best lies are. She left that night, taking the remaining blackmail files and a Glock. I didn't stop her. The crown. The police came at dawn. Not for me, for her. Anna had leaked the footage, framing herself as the mastermind, me as another pawn. The world wept for the broken widow, none the wiser. I stood at Charles's grave, the headstone gleaming. His ring, still on my finger, weighed nothing. A shadow fell beside me. Anna, hooded and hollow. You let me take the fall. I handed her a passport, a gun, a vial of cyanide. You wanted to be me. She spat on the grave. I'm better. I didn't disagree. Epilogue, The Widow's Walk. I sold Hollowpyre Manor. Let the new owners pry up the bloodstained floorboards, the hollowed-out walls. Let them whisper of ghosts. The art forgeries hang in museums now. The blackmail files fuel senators' scandals. The money. It's everywhere. Nowhere. Some nights, I visit the river. Adrian's bones are silt, his voice the wind's rasp. You forgot the curtains, Ellie. I never did. I just preferred the view. The end.